Pickaxe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
And welcome to the Hat Chat podcast, episode 160. Wow, that's a nice round number.
Yeah.
That's nice. I'm one of the three hosts, Chris Trott.
Hi, Chris Trott. I'm Ross Hornby.
And I'm Alex Smith, and we're here today to talk to you about what is it today that you wanted to talk about.
What is it?
A variety of things. We don't have a guest today. Obviously,
oh, thanks to Ronan H for that chip tune.
Yes, Ronan H.
Cheers, Ronan H.
Chucked a chip tune our way, and it's lovely.
Please send more singles to us. We love them. And we need them urgently to Hat Chat. Urgent appeal for Fingles to hatchat@hat-films.com. Thank you so much. You can also send some funny news and stuff there if you like.
Yeah, funny news is great. Some people have sent some stuff in.
Yeah. Anything particularly funny in the news, would you say?
I don't know. Again, the word funny being used is broad.
Absurd?
Weird, yeah. Some weird stuff. Like somebody sent us, this was also a not The Onion.
Oh,
Methodist church pastor accused of dealing crystal meth out of a parsonage.
Oh, okay.
So a Methodist Connecticut pastor.
Probably not
been,
the first time, eh?
His name's Herbert.
That's a good
already
name.
Kind of like a bit of a
methy
Herbert.
Name.
I don't know.
Is that what you're about to say?
Herbert's do you know anyone
a bit of a
Herbert?
Methy name? Only my nan when she'd call it.
Like, your dirty Herbert?
Yeah, that's what my nan would say.
Can you end your dirty Herbert?
Yeah.
The Reverend of Woodbury United Methodist Church. United. Sorry. Was arrested Friday after cops were tipped off by the clergyman's alleged side gig. Reminiscent of the plot of Breaking Bad. Well, I guess, well, is he ill?
With like a religious vibe, yeah.
Yeah, with a religious twist. The Walter White lookalike pastor was...
Looks like him
what
too.
What the hell? He looks like
oh,
him too.
Hang on. Fuck off.
Oh, no, there's a picture of him here, like...
I think he's trying to look like him.
Oh, I mean, I can
my
show,
God.
Just, you can this get an idea. Which
what the fuck is the world?
There is an idea there. There you go.
It's just bold and...
Yeah,
he but is. Like, why was he dealing meth? And
he looks like he's on
like
meth
Walter
in the
White
photograph, that's for sure.
Some great jokes in our live chat
really?
Of him being a Methodist.
Ah, of course, Methodist
Which
church.
Is really funny. I thought I had to interject
this
that.
This is so weird. This is like such a...
Yeah.
Like, this is almost like a joke.
Do you think he was a meth dealer before he became like...
Or did
reverend.
He get the idea from Breaking Bad?
Can anyone just become a reverend? Is that just like, I'm now a reverend?
No, I think you have to, depending on which like organization controls your church, you need to adhere to their rules. So if it's a Catholic church, you have to be part of the Catholic clergy.
Yeah.
And
like, do you deal meth? Yes, you're in.
Oh, you're a dealer.
Welcome round.
We do need some like side hustle.
Obviously not what they're after.
How to become a reverend online.
Oh, okay.
An undergraduate degree in theology is sufficient, apparently, to become a reverend.
Wow. Well,
so that's the starting point. Get a degree in theology. More prominent churches will expect reverends to also possess a postgraduate degree, such as a master's degree or PhD.
Oh, okay.
So you have to be pretty smart to become a reverend.
So smart enough to...
Well, unless you're in a small church, and then just some meth dealing would be enough.
You could repose as a. If you bought a building that was like a Methodist church, you could probably convince people that it was legit. This is in America,
I mean,
remember?
I guess,
like, you could probably.
I have no idea how you like. Because, I mean, what's the difference between a cult and a religion? Like, you know.
The type of robes you wear.
It's hard to say.
But, like, you know, as in, I don't know if there are rules around, like, just starting your own thing.
I think it's very. How wide appeal.
I mean, you could just
is.
Say you're a role playing group.
Yeah. True.
Oh, no, this
true.
Is.
Just LARPing.
I don't know. I think you can do whatever the hell you like as long as you've got, like, the rights to have an organized like meeting on that land. I guess if you build a building and invite people to come, then unless you're disrupting other people, I doubt anyone give a fuck. So
yeah,
who knows what's going on behind closed Methodist doors. In this case, it's meth dealing. We know what's happening behind these doors. Well, no longer, because
that's a shame.
Well, apparently this dude was pulled over by state troopers in Woodbury and found to be in possession of crystal meth in both rock form and in liquid form in a hypodermic needle. Ready
just
for injection.
For the gas form.
Oh. So it was ready to go. Ready to just stick someone.
Ooh, I didn't know you could inject crystal meth.
Apparently so. He was allegedly slinging meth in exchange for watching gay couples engage in sexual activity.
Yeah, yeah. This is the other side of this. I remember this
that
now.
That just went in there.
Because I remember the headline that somebody put when they emailed it to us was something like, priest deals meth for gay cuck services or something like that. So he wanted to
that
be the cuck.
Been in the
he
title.
Wanted to like be the watcher that's, or the voyeur of gay couples fucking each other
for a bit of meth.
Whilst on meth or like just dealing it?
Probably both, let's be honest, yeah.
So he would give them meth so that he can watch or partake?
They'll take the
it
meth.
It just says in exchange for watching gay couples engage in sexual activity. So he's there just having a little peep.
So he's not really earning a buck, he's just earning a fuck.
Well, he must be selling it as well
the problem.
On
the
side.
Sorry. And this is why they get caught. If you start using your drugs as currency, then you go to prison. If you just treat it like a business, or in this case, a religion, he would have been fine.
I don't know if that's true.
He was clearly...
You can't sell meth and get away with it.
Oh, well, he's got money for it. That's fine. We'll let you off with a warning. Yeah. Is that what you think would happen?
No, I just think that you don't get caught if you're not...
You've got to wipe it clean.
...using meth as a bartering tool for
you're
watching other people have
watching
sex.
That gay couple have sex. Right?
I feel like you're adding a lot of variables to the equation.
This is another photo which does look a lot more like...
Now he's got the glasses on.
Yeah,
that does make sense.
See, you can get it.
For podcast listeners, he's a bold...
With this horn-rimmed glasses.
Horn-rimmed glasses.
But he's got the same kind of shape as Walter White in that regard. So I can see why they would make the comparison. And also he was, dealing
the
drugs.
The story as well.
Dealing the drugs. But but the story, I mean, because Walter White was in a desperate situation, guys. He had to pay bills. He had medical bills. He was about to die. He wanted to support his family.
It was a catalyst, but he was always Walter White. And
5 series later, he's a badass who's just fucking doing all sorts of crazy shit.
He was always that
money.
Guy.
That
he
fucking just, series is amazing.
I want to rewatch it. And also, apparently, Better Call Saul is really,
it is
really good.
It is really good,
too.
That is really good as well. So it's really well done.
It's just a bit underrated.
So you can binge watch that in a row as well, because I watched it like as the episodes were coming out.
Nice.
And that was quite a slow one in that regard.
It's slower, isn't it? Yeah.
But really good. I recommend both of those.
Or just live near this guy and get like a real
get
life,
like a yeah,
just get the experience
like
just
a safari, like a Breaking Bad safari experience.
You can buy real meth from a real meth
there
dealer.
He is. he says he was charged with possession of narcotics with intent to sell, possession of a controlled substance, use of drug paraphernalia. So you can just. Like use a kind of a paraphernalia. Can you just use a paraphernalia without the actual drug in it, and that's a crime? Or
drug paraphernalia?
Yeah,
I guess
if it's a banned drug, I assume.
But
so.
If not using the drug,
you're right.
What I mean, they said use of drug paraphernalia.
Yeah. Maybe you can remove drug paraphernalia if you think it's used for the use like of a crime, as in like.
Yeah.
But then is it possession or is it the taking of drugs, which is illegal in this? I don't fucking know, dude. It's American.
I don't know.
I'm guessing. I have no idea how that
works. No idea.
Works,
they probably just throw all sorts of things on.
Do you think if they remade Breaking Bad now, the tagline would be "Let him cook"?
Yeah, probably.
Let
I
him
think that'd
cook.
Be in there. Yeah.
That'd be
there
funny.
Might be an ad campaign.
Like, yeah, I could see a big billboard with just
let
that,
him cook.
Just like, and him just with a
let
pan.
Him cook.
Yeah,
but like, and then some goggles around his neck. Cool.
Anyway, that was that's he was
that's
released
on
10K bail.
Thanks
was
for sending
to
that into our email along with all the Fingles.
So, thank you. Yeah, do send in random stories because that's basically what we're running on.
Yeah. It's often hard to find. With the internet being so open and big, you often end up with all the same articles.
Also, just like a lot of the articles are just depressing or like they're not funny.
Yeah.
Like they're not the Onion ones are normally just like outrageous or just really like, or like just mostly horrible things in America.
Yeah,
like,
it's just people being horrible to each other.
Yeah. And which aren't funny, but they are shocking that that's
it's
like.
It's more
thing.
Shock humor, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough.
I guess. Did you guys watch the Super Bowl? I'm not really into the Super Bowl, but
I watched
that's
the
a big
Usher
deal.
Halftime.
I watched that,
thing,
yeah.
And it was like, well, there's an interesting.
It's not for me.
Dialogue to be had about
that's,
it.
That's all I'll say.
I mentioned it on the other stream, but just, they are reaching back for like performers of the noughties to do these Super Bowl things now, and I think it's literally because there aren't any modern global sensations. There are some, of course.
Yeah,
some that aren't
willing
to pay.
We said Ed Sheeran could be good.
But they have to pay to be in Super Bowl, so it takes a certain kind of person.
How much do they pay to be in the Super Bowl?
But it's like huge publicity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Exposure. You're paying for exposure, like a Hollywood star. But yeah, like there's not many, you could argue.
Fuck. It says here, Usher didn't get paid to play the Super Bowl, but he did earn $52.5 million in exposure.
That's
a fucking exposure that I can get on board with. I don't know how they've tallied that up.
How does that work out?
I guess if you had to have the equivalent, if you divided it by clicks per million or something like that, you would then go, this is how much you'd have to pay in PR or marketing budget to match the amount of attention he got because of that show.
Big promo for his, like, he's got
his roller skate brand.
His roller skate brand and his residency in Ella in Vegas.
Yeah.
So like, I imagine that probably sold a shit ton of tickets.
Well.
I want to see him live as well. Like,
mostly
just
that
seen
show,
him.
Isn't it?
Probably. Well, that the halftime show's in like 15 minutes or 20 minutes.
Sometimes you just want to watch Michael Jackson without feeling guilty about it.
We did. But there was guilt. No, I don't know. When was that?
I don't know. I don't know if anyone should feel guilty about watching Michael Jackson. I don't know. Like,
his estate got money from us. Probably a substantial amount because those fucking tickets are expensive.
Yeah.
And we watched those kids roller skating around and swinging over the crowd. And
they weren't kids.
No, they were dressed as kids.
They were people in their early 20s.
They were dressed as kids.
They
had the white glove.
Really, really
but
like
no, but
fake
Usher was,
well.
Yeah, obviously very inspired by Michael Jackson in his style.
Vice versa as well, apparently.
Yeah.
Allegedly, Michael Jackson was also influenced a lot by Usher.
Well.
So they both kind of...
Was it Earth Song? When? I mean, he must have been so late in his career. Much of his like relevant stuff was influenced by Usher?
Pretty sure Usher stole the glove, yeah.
But like, I mean, it was very impressive, obviously, from... just sort of zooming out of just Usher and the Michael Jackson thing, which is obviously very low-hanging fruit. It is wild to watch it. Like, all of it, the whole start of it, It's like the amphitheater. I know I talk about this a lot, and it's probably a very stupid, simple view of it, but like talking about how America is our era's Rome, right? And how like it's the sort of our empire of our era. Like they are, there's a lot of comparisons, right? So like, you know, like amphitheaters and coliseums and gladiatorial things, like they were always used as a big way to make the populace happy. And like looking at the NFL, looking at that show, sorry, not the NFL, the Super Bowl, like, it must have been like something like what it was like, you know, to be in a coliseum, to have like all these people going nuts around you and like all these crazy visuals going on. You know, there's so much going on all the time.
Yeah,
you know,
it's just
there's
a big corporate.
Of course,
that's
of course.
What it's for, right? That's what it feels like more than anything. Yeah. Obviously, if you watch it on the BBC, it cuts out all the ads.
Yeah,
and then you have to wait. Oh, we have to. Yeah, don't worry, we'll be waiting 10 minutes for all the ads to play. And then
back in Rome,
game.
It would have been about making whichever leader or person who'd put on the show look
satisfied
good. So all the branding would have been their branding. Whilst now we have multiple companies. Yeah, for sure, era's like version of that.
We had
like,
some gladiators, and I think they recently dug up. I think it was a new Time team. Where they dug up and they actually found all the old sponsor decals
to
put on.
What kind of brands were
you
they
had? McLaren.
McLaren were in the holy shit.
Camel cigarettes.
So they were covered in it, like the kilt and everything. It's nuts.
But yeah, it's very interesting to see. Like, I think obviously, I something else I said recently is I feel like we are in a bit of a transition period at the moment. I mean, everything's always in transition, but like where we are in the world right now, where we're living in this time, like a lot of things are happening, a lot of changes and challenges to certain status quos that we've grown up in are happening. And it's interesting to look at America and see like the phases it's going through at the moment and like the creaks and the groans and the will this happen, will that happen kind of thing. And and then try and put that in the context of like, you know, another great empire that we hear a lot about in England, which is Rome. I don't know, pretty wild. I mean,
name a sport you hate.
Yeah.
And then name which celebrity you love that would make you watch that sport.
Okay. So, snooker.
Okay,
you hate snooker.
I don't hate it. Watching
it's
it is
such
so
a,
boring.
It's dull. Like, it is dull. It's just sport to watch. Boring. It is. You've got to really, really want to watch it.
But I would, and name a celebrity I'd like to see try and play snooker.
Well, not necessarily try and play, but like obviously, I'm obviously riffing off the fact that like Taylor Swift was a big pull for like younger audiences, and that's what they were saying, like brought in a new.
Robin Williams plays snooker.
Robin, as in
the deceased comedian actor. Yeah. I think if you had Robin Williams playing snooker,
if he was
fucking,
just commentating,
yeah,
it'd be hilarious.
Here we go. Whoa.
you know, like,
oh, I hit the ball.
I think you could make it quite fun. All right.
That would be great. Like, put Robin Williams' commentary on any of the sports mode watches. For sure.
Yeah, but like the Spice Girls didn't really get that. I mean, they probably did. With cut what? To Victoria
Beckham.
Every now and then. They probably did. Like, it's still like, there's still a WAGs, they were called.
So the Spice Girls are playing which sport for you?
Well, no, in this regard, I'm just referencing the fact that like David Beckham would have been, you know, this is kind of an equivalence of sorts, whereas it's like, oh, look, it's Victoria Beckham.
I'd argue there's more of a...
But not as much star power in comparison.
I'd argue that this may not be true, but football in the UK is a very different beast in that people listening to Spice Girls likely watch football. I don't know.
Well, this is what I mean. Like, as in, like, I don't imagine that like Swifties are necessarily NFL fans.
Which sport is it? Which sport is it the Spice Girls are playing? Is it rugby?
Bowls. Or what's so the one boring. On ice? What's the one on ice called?
It's, oh, curling.
Curling.
Curling. Yeah. For
which can be dramatic, but normally isn't. Exciting.
I think
the crowds are normally
the
like
floor to make it more slick.
Yeah, of course.
Or not more
and
slick.
And that looks fairly exciting. Yeah. And when they hit that ball, it's like, yes, nice.
I want to scrub some floors, I'll just do it on my own. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the team coordination of curling is quite exciting, isn't it? When they're all like working as a little like scrubbing machine.
Yeah.
Like, you could definitely mechanize what curling is, couldn't you? You could just create a machine that you just push down instead. All right, slowing down a bit. Put just got these little like brushes moving.
Yeah. Curling thing itself.
Oh, yeah, don't worry about it. We've fixed. You don't have to do this anymore. We've got a machine that will do it every time.
Learned that from Robot Wars.
Yeah.
It's probably a very popular opinion, but.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
I don't like cricket.
I love it.
I love it.
No, I just find it really, it's just the ones that go on for ages. It's like, how is that still exciting?
I don't watch many sports at all.
No, I don't know if we're the right crowd.
We're not the right
crowd
for it, but like, that's something that if it comes on TV, I feel like I'm going to pass out then because I've I'd have to be really into it. And like, I know they've got like a version which is really short, which is probably a lot more bearable, I'd say. But Test cricket's just like, oh, okay, so we're into week four or whatever. It's just like,
I'm
fuck
sure
me,
you
who's
had
still
friends.
Excited about this?
I'm sure you had friends. I had friends really growing up. They used to love it. And I never used to get it.
I want to have that joy as well.
Yeah. Like, they'd spend a whole, like, sunny afternoon just watching 4.5 hours of cricket. And I'm like, why are you enjoying this? Like,
just,
you have to be indoctrinated from birth.
But it's probably something you could have passively whilst playing a video game or something on the side.
I'd have passively on, though, rather than cricket.
Something that maybe.
But that's just me being a nerd.
I'm not one of these people that likes passive things. I'm like,
none of us watch football, do we? So,
no, we're not a good example of this. But I would have the Spice Girls do ski shooting, where you ski between various places, then you get your rifle off your back, shoot, then ski.
That
again.
Sounds like a cool sport. Is that like an Olympic?
It's the Winter Olympic Games thing. Yeah. It's quite fun.
That's pretty cool.
Obviously, they've reduced it down to horrible boringness. Like, you know, when you see like when you imagine archery, and you're like, oh, fuck, it's going to be like. Like goddamn Robin Hood or whatever, like, and it's always just like they've got every like they've got like a whole weight system, and it's like we've taken as much as the human being out of this as we can. It's now just 3 muscle groups, and that's it. There he goes. His weight was off. He misses.
Just gotta let go, really.
Yeah,
I was quite. I enjoyed the darts.
Yeah,
more
what
recently.
With the
it was a bit more
Benjamin Button.
But then there's also like a lot more atmosphere and stuff going on.
Well, Benjamin Button throwing a fucking yard.
Is that
what
you're calling him, Benjamin Button? Is that what his name?
Yeah, he's aging backwards. He's going to get younger as he gets richer. You watch.
I think so.
Oh yeah, I'm calling him right now.
Isn't he 16?
That'll be he is now. Yeah. So I mean, he's got so far to go.
But yeah, that's like a little bit more interesting, and probably a bit more like I don't know. But then people say F1's really boring, which is fair enough.
I don't think
people
darts is that interesting. I love playing darts. I can't say watching darts is interesting. In my opinion.
I think we need to have a Twisted Metal style arena where you have cars which you Mad Max up to the hells, like with spikes and guns and shit, and then have a bowl, like
some
Destruction
sort of
Derby style.
Yeah.
Full combat, full guns.
Mm-hmm.
That would be insane to watch. Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Yeah, I think that
that sounds amazing. That's
I mean, sports are becoming more violent, right? Well, some of them are. Some of the older ones are getting more safe, and some of the newer ones are getting more violent. Like, they're talking about UFC without gloves now.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So they're looking at trying to start a league of, like, basically bare-knuckle fighting.
I think bare-knuckle is probably safer.
I guess.
I have no idea. I think hitting each other in the face is probably not particularly safe anyway.
It's not good.
The worst part is, well, the most savage part is when they go down and they just keep punching their fucking head in.
Oh my God, I hate that. And the ref doesn't come in quick enough.
It's like, whoa, like that guy's probably dying or something. Holy shit. That's
I watched one the other day of like two women and one was like choking out the other one for ages and they were unconscious and the ref was like,
yeah.
And then the coach had to come in and be like, what the fuck, ref? This person's almost dead from brain damage.
But I think they have to do it until they tap out. But like, if they're like pretty much KO'd, I mean, sometimes they show mercy.
Knocked out.
Mercy.
But sometimes they just like snap their arms and stuff. It's pretty gross.
I don't think they mean to do that.
But yeah, no, but like, they put so much pressure and they're like, yeah. I'm not tapping out. I'm not ready to. I
don't think it's long before we start getting combat sports. Right? You know, as in proper sword play. Like reality shows. Oh my God. Reality shows where people are more physically dangerous with each other. Like, be it like, you know, some Daddy form of back. Like tasing or something like that. I don't know. Something that's not like deadly, but in a way. Because honestly, I think people are getting more and more up
tase fights
for these crazy things. You know, like reality shows and the combination of reality shows and also the willingness of the public demonstrated through social media, through videos, TikTok, things like that. Willingness of the public to do stupid things. Like, if you said to some people,
this is quite squid
gamey
now.
Like, yeah, it's not. Yeah, I don't want it to be squid gamey because like there's a sort of sinister dystopic undertone in Squid Game that makes it very clever and very scary. Yes, exactly. I think you could still do this in a way where they're like, hey, yeah, I'm so-and-so. I'm an ex-Royal Marine and I'm going to be running around Dartmoor trying to not get hit by the other guys with tasers. You know, like as in, and you would have like a TV show where you're watching these teams compete against each other. There's all sorts of like survival shows, like Alone and stuff like that, where they're in Alaska sleeping outside. Yeah. Like that shit is hard.
But you do wonder how much some of that is manufactured. So obviously like all of the Bear Grylls shit, there's a sense of production behind it that's like controlling it. And
definitely.
Which is fair enough because obviously safety standards and stuff are probably so much higher now. Like they don't even, like reality shows you can't drink alcohol anymore because it caused shit. Mm. And that was when the best content was out there, like Big Brother, and they can actually drink and just call each other assholes or be racist.
And do stupid cases, stuff. Which awful. What the producers were really hoping for, have sex.
Yeah. So did happen.
Yeah.
But now they can't do shit, so they just have to manufacture it and be like, all right, now go into this booth and you did this, this, and this. Say how shocked you are.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay. That always takes me out of it now.
Mm. The fact you're imagining the production.
Yeah, because I was watching the recent Traitors, and it's just like they're talking in real time about something that's happening around the table, but they've obviously just done it. So they're just going back going, yeah, I was really shocked.
We've got these notes here from the producer.
Those pull me so far out of the, I don't know. It takes the...
Yeah.
But then if you just... brain dead, watch it, don't think about those things, it's fine. Which is fine.
You mean get high as balls, is what you're saying?
Sure. No, that wouldn't be enough for me to watch that. But I just feel stuff. Like... It's so boring. But I think Traitors...
The best thing about Traitors is the round table and that's it.
How is it not... It's so played out. How are people still interested in it? It blows my mind.
Well, it's like people watching board games, I suppose. It's like, because it's like a mystery thing. And it's quite interesting seeing how that plays.
Like people are always interested in people.
Yeah. Their strategy on how they're going to convince that they're not a traitor or that so-and-so should go or how they make themselves suspicious.
Like just how much you consume in your lifetime, right? Mm. Like someone younger than you hasn't consumed as much reality TV and so it's always going to be slightly newer.
I completely understand that. Yeah, I understand like a new audience or a new group of people coming to it. You know, it's like when our parents discovered Facebook, God help us all, and like, you know, they've come into it, they do their thing. I understand that. Mm. What I'm surprised at is how... I guess, you're right. I'm imagining a person who's... personality or mind is across many like formats. So for me, like film, TV, games, board games, role play, they all are part of like the spectrum of interactable or enjoyable media or whatever.
You missed out the sex dungeon bit.
Dungeon bit's part of each of those. Like basically for me, like these social deduction things, they're like, I played them first in like secondary school for like werewolf, you know, like mafia or some people call it, where you're just playing the actual deduction game. And that was really exciting. Like I get the kernel of why, because like, you know, deceiving and working out who's deceiving each other is exciting somehow in your brain. And then, you know, games come along, things like Among Us. You know, there were games before Among Us that I'd played where I kind of felt like, oh, Among Us, yeah, I've seen this format before, but I get why it was successful. And then like maybe like one or two versions of this traitors thing. Yeah. I just feel like it's kind of lazy. First of all, it's lazy to see them make shows like that. I think like it.
But simplicity wins, doesn't it? But
at the moment,
but what makes those more in that format
it,
more
it
interesting?
It wins for certain audiences. It clearly doesn't win for me
because in traitors, I actually just don't even want to watch any of it apart from the round table stuff. The other stuff of them doing activity stuff.
But why do you like that? Like, what's
because it's the mystery of like, and obviously like they always kind of trip. Someone blames someone or like, oh, it's probably this person. They don't fucking know. And then you've got the traitor. You know who the traitors are, so you can see them kind of scheming stuff. And it's like, that's quite interesting.
So do you enjoy trying to work out who it is, or do you enjoy
it's the drama of them all, like, and the interaction?
Because obviously, right. It's
different from Among Us, where it's or like anything that's like repeatable, or like these guys have all been chosen for a show that they don't want to fucking leave that show. So there's genuine emotion behind like, oh, I don't want to get kicked out for like whatever. Mm-hmm. And you want to stay in the game for as long as possible. So you are seeing a bit more of a genuine reaction. Mm-hmm. Obviously, yeah, there's manufactured bits, you know, they talk about it in talking heads and whatever, which is, yeah, does pull you out of it. But I think that element is quite interesting and makes it quite fun. You can't really repeat that just in a, let's do a round of board games. It's like, oh, I'm out. That's fair enough. But they're out, they're like actually emotional about it. And like, I was like, oh shit, that was my good friend. I've made like a mate in here for 2 weeks.
If you, how can you believe anything they say?
Well, I don't know, but like, it's just like, there's more at stake because they've taken time out of their jobs to go to a place, get involved in a thing. They probably had to whittle down from like 200-300 people or whatever. So they genuinely want to stay in there.
Yeah, and I think there is a human element.
Makes that more interesting, I think.
Like, I don't think you can be totally acting the whole time. I think there is a level of like the way they structure it around these people competing against each other. There is, it's hard not to be competitive and take it to heart, I imagine. Like, we play games and we take things to heart, like when we die. It's like, you've played these games for like all your life. Why does a death in a game that doesn't make any difference to anything affect you in that way emotionally?
The people that you were trusting, or maybe your fellow traitors have suddenly chosen you, and it's like, oh, fuck. Like,
but caring about something just or making yourself feel about something is about investment, right? Like, as in the reason, the things you just described about, like a game, something happening in a game, or something happening in a story or something, right?
Yeah.
Like, all those things, the amount you feel is about how much you've invested in the first place and how much usually an emotional investment. I'm not talking about monetary investment. I'm talking about, you know, anything. It's like pets, you know, you invest a huge amount of emotion into them, and then when things go bad with them, it's incredibly hurtful. Like, I think for me, I'm not interested in, and this is just me, and I think this is probably, it identifies why perhaps these things don't resonate with me as much, is because I'm not interested in investing in these people. Like, as in, because, like, I think it's just, I don't know. It just, for me, like, I think it's... Also, just like drama for me just gives me anxiety. I don't like dissonance or like discord. You know, it makes me uncomfortable to see people like poorly communicating or like poorly, like not getting on. It just makes me feel like,
I don't really watch these shows anyway, but I was just, trying to find context as to why you do watch it and like get the fun.
I think I can understand that about like the whole, like, you get a real emotional reaction that you wouldn't get from an actor, because like an actor recreating that reaction rather
genuinely
than
want to win because they're invested
and there's money involved in one. There's like a pretty big, like, 120 grand or something, so there's good money involved if you win. So people will be playing their own little games and stuff. And then someone will just be like, oh, I think you're suspicious just because you looked away when they said this. It's like, what the fuck? Really? And they're like, me too. It's like, oh, fucking hell, that's really your decision.
You're pretty suspicious.
Yeah, sometimes it's just interesting to watch stupid people as well.
But they're everywhere. Already everywhere.
I think that's what makes some of these shows, these reality shows in general, popular, like probably Only Way is Essex or whatever. It's just that sometimes you want to feel better because these are stupid people.
But they're also going to probably have a better life than everybody watching.
You can't compare your life. It's not about that. It's about the fact that, like, God, like, there's just this escapism element of, like,
but you're escaping from a worse life than they'll walk in. Like, as in, like, for me, it's like a false net, like upside. It's almost like, oh yeah, you're right, they are dumb. But like at the same time, they're gonna probably, for me, life is about like experiencing things and like living as much as I can within my means. Not like, I'm not asking to own like, you know, a fleet of Ferraris and what all these like, you know, weird celebrities and radio presenters and stuff do. But like,
I think I'm just like, oh, fuck me. That person is a total idiot.
Yeah.
And their little idiot brain is going to sail through this existence and see and experience probably quite amazing things. And I feel some people get more from certain things than others. And, yeah. and I just feel like there's a cosmic injustice that these people just, get these things and you don't. And you have to use them as a way to escape from how bad you feel.
I know, but you're just describing that's jealousy, though.
Fuck. It's not jealousy.
It is, though. That's the definition.
It's dislike of the order of things. It's not, I'm not jealous of being that stupid.
Because they've earned it in that way, sure, but like...
But it's not about earning, but it's even divorced from earning because you can earn money in loads of different ways.
Yeah, like
saying they haven't earned it, becoming a reality star can be a great way to make money. It's not about earning, it's about making, you know? And I don't like that, you know? And I think it just builds into a whole system of things that I revile. So I can never really like experience it without that sort of somewhat like, fuck, this is where we are though. Mm. You know, like, and that's just because I'm not, I take things too seriously, or I'm not resilient enough. You know, like I'm not saying that that's the world's fault. That's just the way that my particular lens sees it. You know, and
it's jealousy.
Yeah, it's jealousy.
But I don't watch. But yeah, I mean, Anyways, X and all that stuff is really trash TV. I don't watch that. But like,
no.
But then at the same time, I do watch The Apprentice, which is also awful in terms of the people on there are really stupid. But I'm not sure if they're stupid or they're just being led down a path by a producer to do stupid things. But my God, some of the mistakes they make and like the calculations are always wrong. And like, it's just like, you are watching stupid people, but it's just like, God, like how do they get this opportunity? And then you do kind of compare like, oh, I could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want to fucking go on that show, but like, I guess it makes you feel better because it's just like, yeah, I could fucking do that challenge. That's so easy. Like, why do they design it with these colors? Like, what's that design? And it's just like, but then I think they just do that for the entertainment of it, which is
also bad. Like,
as a producer, we would be like, well, it needs to be entertaining.
The how easy is to choke when you're in that scenario as well. Like people don't realize what it's like. Like when Simon Clark did that mastermind thing and people were choking on silly questions.
Yeah.
It's like they're all so
easy. You're just on the spot. Yeah.
You can be the smartest, most quick thinking person in the world. On the wrong day, you get fucked.
And you have some pressure put on you and it's like, well, everyone else is doing shit. Really? But like I've sat and watched these shows all the time. I can understand and then your brain just
For sure.
Mm-hmm. So. It should have been kilograms, not grams, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, we've only got one cake. Oh, fuck. Oi, what's the best game where you get to eat pie? What's the best game where you play a dead guy?
Aye? You'll find out on VG247's podcast. Looks boring.
What are you on about?
It all of great. Their games, they look boring.
You don't look boring. It looks like you're an assassin on the Isle of Man.
But it doesn't have the kind of wow.
The steampunk... quail-based economy is incredibly
boring.
VG247's Best Games Ever podcast is ostensibly a show about figuring out what the best game in a weirdly specific category is, but it's actually just about petty arguments. You should listen to it. It's good.
Is that it? That's the whole promo?
Yeah, I was just doing...
And that's supposed to make people subscribe, is it?
Yes.
Okay, good luck with that.
You can find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I guess we can't go back to the shop because the producers won't let us. It's like...
You can be super skilled. It's like training a dog, right? Not to compare people to dogs, but when you train a dog in one environment, they get really good at that environment. You take them outside, suddenly all that training goes out the window.
Yeah, different environments.
It's like taking a chef that's like really good at their job in their scenario with that kind of work environment that they had, and then you put them on a show where there's cameras and start and stopping, and then a judge... It's like they weren't trained to cook in front of that.
Different pressures.
So
silly prick put himself on TV though, didn't they? So we can sling all the vegetables we like at them.
This is it, yeah.
What?
Yeah, basically. And they had the. It's just another. It's just that they could win.
Another fucking, you know, walk through the middle of the town centre to the gallows as all of us peasants gather around and hurl our vegetables at them because our life sucks.
They're doing stupid
things. They're more stupid than us. And we haven't progressed at all.
But it does feel it is very much like that in that regard. Because it is just like we want to see stupid people doing dumb things on TV.
We haven't really evolved.
Look at Jackass.
Like, well, I want to see combat sports.
You want to see combat sports.
No, I don't.
This is why pro wrestling's so good.
Yeah.
It's got a bit of both.
Theatre.
It's got
theatre. Yeah, for sure.
It's got the violence without people like losing limbs and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's enough to be like...
Everyone's got their own taste of theatre, isn't it, really? Like, you know, the theatre may come from wrestling, the theatre may come from actual, very dry historical theatre, as not many people enjoy, musical theatre, and then, you know...
Like, going to watch Wicked is, like, the same kind of thing.
No, definitely. There's always going to be an element of live performative like art, isn't there? It's just very interesting for human beings to watch. Yeah. I guess, yeah, reality is the twist on the fact that usually that performative art is prepared or written, whilst some of the reality can be organic and exciting.
Yeah, I think it's the organic element. Mm. It's like you're trying to coax out something from a real human,
mm-hmm.
and it's not like they're in on it. It's like, no, they're being manipulated for yeah. TV, for your benefit, which is quite dystopic, really.
The last reality show I watched was this one where they got dropped in Alaska, right? And it was quite clever. Well, it wasn't clever. Some bits were really shit. So they had to split up into like four teams. But the way they did it was they just like had like the 20 like contestants. And they just went, you now need to split into four teams. And they were just like, oh, fuck. And they're all like different, like they're quite good. They're all quite like experts in different things, the outdoors. You know, some of them are good at hunting. Some of them are good at like bushcrafting. Some of them have knowledge about fish, mushrooms, all this sort of stuff. Right. And then they just have to join in an instant with like the people next to them. And, you know, it's a lot like school, yeah, yeah. like gym class where you're just like, yeah, us. And then, but the problem is in that moment, they've usually either fucked or not or succeeded because right. like the people that they happen to pull together into their group, if they've got the right skill set, they're going to win. But it was really clever. They divided the camps using a river in the middle and then they had to build like rafts and stuff.
Oh, shit.
But
oh,
it's okay. constantly wet. It's one of the wettest places in the Christ. World.
Yeah.
And it gets down to like sub-zero temperatures at night and then gets about above 10 in the day. It's just miserable. It's like walking yeah, around yeah. right now. Imagine just doing survival outside and you've got to build but your own shelter.
Way colder.
Just right now.
Misery, yeah.
And that was very interesting. But by about day three or four, when they all started looking like they were about to die, there was a moment when they all suddenly started being a bit more chipper again. And you're like, they definitely fed them. Because like they were like eating like mussels they were finding on the river. They were just walking up and down.
But that's it. Like, there'll be rules based on just you can't.
You can't feed starve people.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like two or three people, like one of the guys who was like easily one of the lead like contestants, you know, really, really competent, fit guy. And, he just didn't get enough food in him and his metabolism was basically too high. He was too like big and muscly.
So he was losing
fucking collapsed and they had to take him out of the helicopter. Oh, you know, like just because he didn't get enough food. Yeah. And
that's what they wanted though. That's the show they want.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. But it was pretty wild. Like that to me was like, this is pretty real. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like stupid almost, but I think you need a little bit stupid for it to be really exciting.
I think so, yeah.
Because otherwise it feels too insulated. It feels too unreal, you know? Anyway, we should make our own reality TV shows, but not us. I don't want to compete, all right? We're going to die.
Well, then where's the fun?
We'll get other people to compete, Trot.
Oh, right. And we're the judges.
Yeah. We're the game makers.
What would the scenario be?
We'd wear these weird jeweled animal masks. And
people are furniture.
Right. Yeah, and people are furniture.
In a dystopic world.
Really sexy furniture.
Where we can be able to kill each other
we
for money.
We have a bridge, and then they have to, like, go on to the next piece, but it could break.
Mm. Yeah. So. Oh, yeah, I think that show was called, is it Outlast?
Yeah,
I think it was Outlast, yeah.
Is it Outlast?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
quite close to that horror game that we played, Outlast Trials.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Which is very similar, where they the
notion of that Alaska one is if you're the last team left, you have to win as a team.
Right.
So they were forcing them to make allegiances, and a couple of times, like, people switched teams and stuff. Right. One time, one guy stole all of his team's sleeping bags and took them to another team to win them over.
So you do like drama.
But dude, it's not drama. It's like people will die at night. That's real drama.
That's
you know?
Drama.
Like
they, that's still drama.
It's not like, oh, I don't know if they're a traitor.
Your eyes lit up at the idea of it.
Because I guess
when
I
there's real danger between people, not like just discourse.
Reality TV isn't extreme enough for me. I think that's what I probably.
I think you want real people to get hurt.
I think it needs to escalate like when you beyond familiar concepts.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just there's a little bit of drama involved. That was
definitely a mistake. I kind of wanted like. Open it and like flick it out, but instead it just ended up right next to his face, and
just
then I cracked
sputtered
it
into his eye.
And you fucking loved it though.
It was
I mean,
you
and,
really
and the close up we got of it,
and just popping balloons.
The close up of when the water just hits the inside of your nose and then cascades up and around your eye, like the curling of a wave. It was like a Davidoff advert.
Just make peace with the idea that you fucking love it.
I love
a bit of drama.
You
just seem to want more.
I love drama.
Threat.
I'm jealous
physical
of reality
threat.
TV show stars.
You love suffering.
Idiots aren't like doing well for themselves.
I don't like idiots to do well for themselves.
Events,
yes. You like people throwing up?
Huh?
You like people throwing up?
Throwing up is hilarious.
Yeah.
It is hilarious.
Yeah.
Come on.
Ball hits.
The reason I love throwing up so much is because more often than not, the person has done it to themselves. And that is something that you can laugh at.
Jesus.
Because it's just like, look at what you've done.
Well, you a can of fizzy to the eye. Is that, did I
no,
deserve
that? Was,
that?
I, no, I've already said that was a mistake.
But right? You fucking loved it. So why?
Why did I love it?
Yeah. because you like suffering.
Oh God, yeah. Maybe I'm a sadist. Is it?
Yeah.
It's
just therapy. That's all this is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just identifying these things isn't going to improve me though. It's just
it's
going to quantify me. Well, it's not almost bad that I'm making peace with it. You know, like yeah, you're right.
But now you can find really good shows to watch.
Yeah, I know exactly what I need to scratch my itch, and yeah. I'm less of a danger to the public.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Yeah. No, that does make quite a lot of sense actually.
there's got to be some weird shows online somewhere. Maybe Japan.
Maybe insect fighting. That was always good.
Yeah, I hate insect fighting.
Bug fights was awful.
I think we've just trodden around.
Just they would never meet each other in the wild. You just shoved them into a little cage and they don't just know what's going fight.
On. No, that's exactly.
It's like, of course they're going to just fight to the death a little bug. That's brutal. That's not...
The combative sport element is like, no, these people elected themselves
exactly.
to be in it.
Exactly. Mm. Like, I think that's the important thing.
Oh, of
it's
course.
Like,
if they choose to do those things, then yeah.
But at the same time, you can be... put into a pressure
scenario. You can be the victim of socioeconomic pressure, but there's only so much of that you can need to allow for to be reasonable. Otherwise, you wouldn't make any decisions at all.
Of course.
There's a barrier, yeah, but you're right to consider that, yes.
Yeah.
But if you're, you know...
If you're going
if you're already
brother,
as smart as you, Trot, you already would have thought about that, like you had. So I'm just hoping that all of our listeners are as smart as you.
Fingers crossed. Don't enter into Outlast in Alaska.
Yeah,
don't know what you're doing. Right, you got anything to finish us up there, Ross?
Oh, I don't know. There's a couple of stories. There's a weird one which I saw this video the other day, actually, which was just... I guess it just highlights just the clumsiness of American police officers. This is in Florida, so there we go.
Well,
an acorn fell in his car and he started thinking he thought someone shot him. And so he pulled out his gun and started firing at the car.
Oh, my God.
So there's shots fired! Shooting the car, an acorn fell on it. Oh. That's how fucking scary it must be to live in America. That these are the guys who are supposed to protect you. Luckily, he has resigned.
Hell.
Probably with his head probably in his hand, he's like, I'm such a moron.
Yeah, but just it probably just goes to show.
They
like,
just give him
I'm
a week's
pretty...
training and say, yeah, here's a gun, here's a badge, go have fun.
I can't imagine that is what they do.
No, but it just gives the impression. An acorn fell on, but then obviously that's the skittish nature of everyone
right,
has
exactly,
a gun. So
exactly.
Everyone's just like, ooh, fuck.
There was no
if
like,
you're in a situation where there may be a chance you're going to be shot and you hear something that may sound like a gunshot.
Well, then you would duck and hide, you would get down. But he fucking got his gun out, emptied a fucking magazine into a car which had somebody handcuffed in the back of it. 22-year-old.
If there's an instinct, if that's your instinct and not your rational thinking, then there's a problem.
Yeah. But that's like that. Yeah, that's pretty much where that story went. And he doesn't have the job anymore, so that's good.
Yeah.
The other one was just a weird one, which was Delta flight returned to Schiphol because maggots were falling on passengers from overhead. Turned out someone left a suitcase containing rotten fish was in the overhead.
Oh God!
Overhead carrier.
Nothing to declare.
Jesus Christ! No rotting good. Fish with maggots. Just like,
that's so
what
horrible.
Fuck? What the hell's above me? Raining maggots, and they're like, oh my God!
So unbelievably
Christ,
bad.
That's
who had rotten fish?
Did
in
they
their
just
luggage?
Bring it on? You think? Do you think they just brought it on?
Well, I don't know. If it's rotting, surely it's been rotting for a while.
It would
stink. It would smell.
That's your hand luggage. That's like the shit
that's hand
check.
Luggage.
Like, I'm going to put my passport and stuff in
you
there.
You would smell that shit like going through customs. They'd be like, what the fuck does that smell? Or the scanner.
It goes through security. Yeah.
Was it wrapped in something maybe? Or like cut, chopped up?
But the maggots got out.
Oh, yeah, it was raining maggots and they had to turn the plane around.
There's multiple steps.
They basically
there,
got to Manchester and turned around back to Amsterdam. You think they would land in Manchester or something? I don't know. I don't know what the logic is.
No, they were Dutch magics. The maggots didn't have a passport.
Yeah, the maggots couldn't be transferred.
Yeah.
Sorry,
back
sir, you're
sheeple.
Not coming in. Brexit means Brexit.
Yeah.
We don't maggots. Want any foreign maggots, only English that's maggots coming
so
in.
English maggots.
Only English maggots. All right. And some Welsh maggots. And some North. Well, you know what I mean. It's complicated.
Yeah. Those are the weird stories that I saw. Other than that, there were some just conspiracy theories about Taylor Swift being a Pentagon asset.
Right, yeah, I did hear
so
about
I don't
that.
Really know what the grounding behind that is.
She could be an alien. What? She's got alien-esque features.
She thinks so. How?
Well, she's quite very symmetrical.
Very symmetrical. As in, like, crafted in an AI.
Too well-crafted.
Yeah. I think it's perfectly reasonable to be sceptical of powerful people.
Yeah.
You've got to look for the double lids on the eyelids.
Because I think they're worried that she would sway the votes because she's just got... You know, such a large audience.
I don't think. By the way, I don't think that Taylor Swift is a Biden ass.
She's
I mean,
a
she
psy-op.
Is. She
she's
is.
A psy-op.
I mean, it wasn't a planned psy-op. It's one of the many
she's
forces
with
of
the
culture
NFL.
That go in favor of certain political movements.
The NFL have dropped her billions and billions and billions, and then she's just had to partner up with whichever quarterback is in the team at the time. And bam,
Oh shit!
I don't know.
I mean, Biden needs all the help he can get. So you know, stop America falling apart. Because I mean, like, honestly, what on earth is going to happen if the other one gets in? You know.
I mean, obviously, people will always comment. Well, why we comment on American politics? But like, our politics all of our politics is dog shit right now, and we're all just
super
kind of
dog shit.
Just,
it's like reality TV. We're trying to look for the other thing that feels worse than us.
Yeah, it's one of those things where the country with like 250 million people. Mm-hmm. Those are the two options. That's pretty shit, isn't it? And we've got, we didn't get to choose ours.
No, we didn't. We had a couple of candidates.
Yeah, Rishi said that he was an elected candidate as well the other day.
Democratically, he called it democratically instated, I think it is, or something like that.
Instated, that makes sense.
Something like that. Like, as in, it was through the established routes that he was made prime minister. Yeah. Rather than elected, he has been installed or some
but
shit.
I think he misworded it.
Did he? But he said just
he
elected.
Said elected, yeah.
It's all a bunch of toss, isn't it? We've all got to just smile and eat the shit.
And watch combat wrestling.
And watch combat wrestling to get over it all. We want to see people die again on TV.
I can't watch wrestling without somebody smashing copious those bulbs over the back.
Oh, yeah,
tubes. I'm a tube smashing wrestler, to be honest with you. I have to go to very hastily organized events because they cannot get insurance for any of it.
Didn't Raka Raka do a load of videos on
that?
Where they smashed a load of fucking tubes on their back and then rolled around on it.
I remember watching them early on and thinking, this is so reckless and dangerous.
I think some of it was real.
Yeah, it's
all
real.
It was like backyard wrestling.
It's all real, and like they put their bodies on the line for sure, but they are also extremely good at like putting that together and making it look way more visceral.
And they made a banging film.
And they made a banging film.
Fair play to
them. They're doing very well.
We say we met him, one of them.
Yeah, we met them both.
No, we only met the one Raka.
They were both there.
No, was it just one? It was just one there.
No, I remember two of them, but I remember them. Are they twins?
Oh, yeah. I'm 90% sure one of them met because he said the other one didn't.
I think we met them twice. I remember meeting one of them and two of them.
Oh shit, when was that?
We did
the Ghost Recon thing. I thought it was just one. Yeah,
I thought we met them in LA one time as well. I think we were at something when they were there.
Maybe. But yeah, we met one of them at the military
thing.
The Ghost Recon
when we had an awkward interaction with Punisher. What's his name?
The Punisher, the guy who plays Punisher.
Wasn't that awkward?
No, it wasn't. We didn't really speak to him.
He was expecting a photo.
Joe Bernthal. What did we get?
John Bernthal.
John Berens. John Build-A-Bear.
Was he expecting something else? What was he expecting?
Well, it just looked like he just sat down and we were like posing for the camera and then it was actually being filmed and we were like, oh, so there wasn't like really a conversation.
I think we just have terrible interactions with celebrities when that happens.
It's just weird to try and cram those things together, to be honest.
Knowing that he didn't want to be there meeting.
Yes. Yeah,
that's it. They're just there to tick the ticker box, get a paycheck and move on. You know, they make another fucking Planet of the Apes film.
I saw the trailer for it, yeah.
They're
very popular, apparently.
Apparently so. I guess kids probably love it.
Apparently they're really good.
Yeah.
Like, the most recent ones have been very good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not really my thing,
but you hate humanoid apes.
the monkeys, man. They're just a bit scary, aren't they? Fucking scary. Imagine if Planet of the Apes was real.
I know. Joel scared me the other day. And it's a dream story.
Okay.
Are you prepared for dream
story? No, he's fine with dream stories these days. He's the main purveyor.
It was short. It was really short.
It was just like Hayes' dream stories phase.
It was just
four years
it's something that's going to happen. Yeah. I'm going to think about this dream every time I get on a flight.
Right.
And it was literally like, it was just, I felt the turbulence. I felt like I was there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Looked out the window, plane going across.
Another plane
going across. And so we dipped. And then we just kept going down. I was just preparing for death. And I just accepted death. And I had this kind of really visceral, real moment of like, this is it. I'm going to die.
Was it peaceful?
In a way.
Okay, so you've already experienced what it's like.
Yeah.
So that's quite nice.
Fuck's sake.
But now I feel like I'm going to picture... It was so realistic. It's like I had an Apple Vision Pro on. Or a Meta Quest 3. Which is
way cheaper, yeah.
Way cheaper.
I actually saw what I thought was an anti-air rocket launched at my plane when I was leaving Mexico City Airport. I told you about this, didn't I?
I don't think you did. An anti-aircraft?
No, what the fuck?
Honestly,
would you see something go?
I saw a thing go, and then it curled back round, spiraled, and went up towards the right-hand wing of my aircraft.
Shit.
I swear I told you about this. So obviously,
wait,
I'm still
real
here.
Or a dream?
No, this is real. So when I was leaving Mexico City last year,
what the fuck?
Right, we were taking off, and as with a lot of cities, when the airport is usually out on the outskirts of the city, right?
Yes.
And also on the outskirts of the city are like the trash heaps, the waste disposal services, and also just like in places like Mexico City, like
random lots of empty land that you can rent or own if you want. You know, they're literally just fenced off squares of land, of, you know, that are only probably a few hundred meters by a few hundred meters. And this one looked like somebody was using it for flying model aircraft, right? And I looked down, so which was crazy because we were like right next to an airport, which is a classic exclusion zone for flying that kind of thing. It was literally a couple, you know, less than a half a mile beyond the airport. I saw this field. We must have been about 500-600 feet off the ground. You know, we were real close to it. I could still just about see faces, you know, and there was these two guys. And I was watching, looking down, I was like, oh, what are they up to? Oh, this is kind of cool, like seeing all the outskirts of the city and stuff. And I was looking out my window, and I just see this classic, just smoky-ass rocket motor start, just, and this thing goes shooting off. And I'm like, shit, is that, what is that? Is that, and first of all, I thought it was either a remote control plane, which I've flown a lot of in the past, or one of those remote, like, you know, those home rockets you can get, like, this sort of, you know, about 3 foot like tall.
Bottle rocket,
but then it seemed like they had control of it because it was shooting off in one direction. Then it turned.
Oh.
And then it started gaining altitude in a spiral. And I was like, for a second, I was like, ha, this looks just like those videos I've seen on combat footage of people using anti-air missiles. And I'm like, it's not an anti-air missile, is it? And you're like, and I was like, well, I mean, Mexico City is a lot safer than I think a lot of people think it is. You can, most European tourists, American tourists could easily go to Mexico City, don't make stupid decisions, and you'll have a fine time. You can walk about
like
in the daytime.
Like most places, right?
Yeah, you can walk about in the daytime of most parts of Mexico City with headphones in, with your phone out, you know, like, it's not, like, super dangerous. So I was like, in my head, I'm like, nobody's going to have a fucking anti-air missile. I mean, it is Mexico, and they, you know, but nobody's just going to be randomly launching these things. So I was just like, guess I'll just wait, because my eyes told me that looked like a missile.
So you didn't, you didn't scream out. You didn't say, hey, I mean, guys, it's a missile. A missile. It's about to hit the fucking fuselage.
Like, I saw it. I saw it turn. The penny dropped to my head, and then, like, literally just my heart, my stomach was in my chest for about 30 seconds. Because I was like,
greater impact.
Either we climb out of this, or we get hit on the right wing, and we're almost certainly going down. So I just waited for 30 seconds, similar to you, just
you
like.
You didn't jump over your loved ones.
But I didn't feel at peace. I was like, fuck. In my head, I was just like,
well, mine was a dream.
Yeah.
Different scenario.
But no idea. I think what it was is a
dream
rocket.
My dream was calm.
A rocket powered, like, jet, like remote control jet thing, right? I think that's what it was. Because it was definitely using
that
a rocket.
It's crazy to light one of those in a.
I know, right next to an
airport. A plane was taken.
I know.
Just get sucked into a jet somewhere.
But it is, you know, Mexico. So, like, you know, the rules are a bit looser.
There was another branch in that multiverse where that was a missile.
I think this time
they just missed you.
Yeah. Mm. Often I think this. I think that, you know, that could be a lot of what your existence is. Because, you know, you're the only one that ever knows whether you've died or you're alive, right? In terms of, like...
Well, you wouldn't really know if you died.
Because if you died and you'd branched off to a different reality... So, like you say, I think we talked about this before.
Yeah.
I often thought about this as a teenager. Your Truman Show was my branches of reality show, where I was like, what if all the times that I did nearly die in that reality, I did, in fact, get hit by that bus. I didn't hesitate.
See, this story holds up. This theory holds up until old age. And then
absolutely, exactly. And I think that's the wisdom.
You just keep surviving.
Exactly. And, you know, and how worse things happen to you as you get older. You know, you're just like, well, I mean, it's not that great. You know, like life.
Just
you're
really
like,
old now.
Yeah, I think like, you know, as you get older, you get life prepares you for being all right with it ending, hopefully.
Yeah, I think so.
Or we're all just inside a really, really advanced, like... You know, hundreds of years in the future.
Simulation.
Apple Vision Pros. We are just living through.
You don't have to keep saying. Are you saying that?
I'm just saying
SEO.
That as a reference point.
SEO, yeah.
And SEO, it always works. But like
Quest 3.
As a reference point.
Yeah.
We are living our life through.
Yeah.
We're an avatar.
Because it's like our lives are so boring and mundane because everything's cured.
Well, yeah, because everyone's just sitting in a box because no one can afford anything. So they're all just sat in chambers, just putting the helmet on.
Living a
real
life.
Fed through drip feed and just fucking enjoying
feeling
life.
Real pain.
So what we think is miserable is actually paradise.
Because we
think,
that
well, yeah, possibly. It's all a matter of perspective, isn't it?
It really is about perspective. And also, as it's impossible to see other people's perspectives, you make of that what you
will. The trick is to heavily overdose on LSD.
Heavily.
And experience the entire timeline of the universe.
That seems like...
Apparently...
That's
it always works with LSD.
I
can get you
something.
You're talking about the heroic dose.
Should we
try some and go on the stream?
I'm not sure I'm capable of doing psychedelics.
You basically watch yourself go through your entire timeline, and then you become the universe for what feels like eons, and then someone watched the whole Earth be reformed again.
Yeah, but like, obviously this is just something your brain is doing to you.
But it's incredible that your
brain is capable. Have you seen that clip of them handing, like, giving LSD to soldiers and then just like giving them a load of weapons and just sending them out and seeing what happens?
Then they all start like hugging and dancing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, but obviously they were there, RPGs and like, it's just a really
hell.
Yeah,
they obviously didn't know what effect it would have, and
that's
quite let's give it to some soldiers. And see what happens.
It's when they were thinking about using it as a weapon, I think. And they're thinking about deploying it en masse over.
I think that would work. You could
populations.
Yeah, you could weaponize it quite easily. Just show them fucking crazy shit at the same time. What the fuck? And psychologically ruin someone.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Could try it with Trot.
It's a very dangerous.
Yeah. You give Trot like just a couple of tabs. Won't take much. It's surprising.
I'm on the edge anyway. Much. Yeah.
Also, like, you probably shouldn't mess around with that stuff unless you know what you're doing. Like, so you're talking about the heroic dose, right? Yeah. Is the thing that, like, so there's a really good study about this by King's College London where they did it with psilocybin.
Drink a glass.
But it's the idea of having incredibly high doses of psychoactive material. Like, LSD is one, psilocybin is another,
DMT.
DMT. Like, but, like, how they work on the brain is, I think they create, like, a form of, like, neuroplasticity. Maybe that's the wrong use of that, but, like, they allow you to reprogram the inputs and outputs of your brain ultimately. So it puts you into a changeable state. And if you have experiences, if your brain takes you in a place like this that's good, then it may end up creating a good experience, a good output for your brain. But if it goes in a bad place and you start to associate things badly, you may... And that's why it's important psychosis. When you take huge amounts of doses like this to be in an environment like with a psychotherapist or something like that, that can help you process things in a good way. I would love to do that. I would love to try that.
It's just incredible just the fact that the tiny little square has that power.
It's crazy, isn't it?
The tiny little square.
But it's just, that's just purification of drugs, though.
And if you had a vial of it,
fuck.
It's just like that, the power of it would be just
ridiculous.
Well,
you know how much it takes, how much fentanyl it takes to kill somebody.
Well, yeah, a couple of grains.
A couple of grains.
It's crazy.
So it's just purification of drugs.
But it's pretty amazing. But there's one of the things where it's just like, if you just, you know, pop a glass in someone's, you know, in a water supply for a building or something, you can get everyone fucked up.
I think it's less about
I think that's obviously large volumes of what it might dilute, but still.
Lot, you're right, I mean, yes, you can use drugs effectively as a weapon. Ross Ormey discovers fucking Rehypnol.
It's just amazing. It's just
this
incredible.
This is getting monetized.
It's just incredible.
This is going to get monetized.
But yeah, okay, well, that's... We won't really delve into the...
No.
Unless you want some LSD now.
Yeah, I'll do the $3,000 thing.
We'll get him.
You'll do the
and we'll
$3,000.
We'll just film him and talk to him for a bit.
Hello.
See what happens.
I feel like my brain will go down a dark path.
And then like 24 hours later, you're like, why am I still feeling things? You're like,
that's
the annoying thing, mate. Yeah, it doesn't really subside
for
a long time.
If there was something I could drink that's like, okay, let's let it wear off now. Like,
that would be really good, actually.
If you have caffeine.
If there was just like, all right, let me just take this and I'll be better. Like,
I'm kind of done with the trip now.
Yeah, the biggest complaint I've heard from friends is it just lasts ages.
Too long, yeah.
And it's just like, you become quite fatigued with like just the sensation of just like... Because immediately, like, it's supposed to be quite euphoric. And then...
That's shit.
Oh, God, it's been, you know, 14, 15 hours.
Well, imagine experiencing the entire universe.
I don't think it's like that, though.
Well, the heroic dose...
But it depends, but then I guess it depends on the heroic dose,
Because it felt like timelines to them.
When
it's, like, seconds.
And I guess it also depends on your surroundings or what you're exposed to at the time and what you're thinking of.
Given
because if you've just been through trauma, I don't know if that would be a good idea to take...
No, probably not, no.
I think
that
they're powerful.
Let's test it on Craig.
Be careful, everybody.
But don't tell him.
Especially if you're young as well. If you're listening to this, like obviously we're in our 30s now. Like if you're listening to this in your late teens or early 20s, like your brain's still not fully formed and you've got a lot of good to get out of your brain yet. Don't start...
Before you start collapsing it.
Before you start experimenting on it with drugs, make sure it's fully formed. Otherwise it can have really bad effects.
This is coming from three guys that definitely...
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, like, I'm really glad. I had some friends at school who smoked weed when they were teenagers, and there's a lot of evidence now that says that that's really not good for you.
No.
Like, you know, like, it can really stunt development.
Alters the development,
and,
yeah.
Like, now, you know, when I got into it, I was in my mid-20s, and mid to late 20s, really, and I feel a lot happier about that because I feel like, you know, it has less of a... an impact on your brain development. So according to science, I mean, it may
it's
have an impact.
It's already deteriorating now.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. That's the thing. I got my juice. I got my good years.
You peaked.
And now, you know, I'm trying to be kind to it, but at the same time, giving it a little, like, chuck a little bit of kerosene in the fuel tank now and then, you know, just to...
Spice things up.
Just to get some flames coming out of the exhaust pipe, which they have been after eating all those chilies we ate the other day.
Not once, which is...
Did you ever, sore bottom? We did a spicy challenge, Hot Ones style show.
That'll be for Yogg's cast members soon.
And yeah, I think, well, I'm surprised at how much I could get to before it really hit my throat.
I was really surprised.
The last one, the bomb where it was, Jesus.
That was like getting maced.
That was strong.
Yeah.
A little bit of ring sting.
Yeah, I had one ring sting.
But it wasn't crazy. It wasn't as crazy as I expected it to be, I suppose.
I processed it fine, all things considered. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
Hope you processed this fine. Sorry about the massive tangents and stuff. And we went deep. But that's what Hat Chat's all about. And if you really want to support us and all our endeavors, you can do so on patreon.com/hatfilms. Or, you know, on Twitch or YouTube members, wherever. It all comes back to us and we really appreciate it. So it's your platform of choice, really. And you can all amalgamate at our wonderful community on Discord, discord.gg/hatfilms. If you want to watch like all the videos that we put out just for our members, then link your account on Discord and you'll get access to our subscriber-only channels where we release all that stuff. We've got some fun stuff coming up, like a whole day of streaming and
Hat
stuff
Live
like that.
On the 9th of March.
9th of March.
You just need to be a member or subbed or Patreon to watch it.
You'll get a ticket
and
for
that's a 10-hour event.
Stream. Yeah. So if you're into that,
God help us all.
Yeah. We're really just going to discover our limits there.
Yeah.
In terms of,
I reckon we could do the tabs then.
Just do the tabs.
As long as they can stream me sleeping for an hour or two. Can we do that? You live tent cam? I just
Smith
set
just
up a tent
camping.
Inside and put just up in the just corner of the warehouse camp. And I'll just have a sleep and you can occasionally switch to me.
Have a little camp, yeah.
The schedule of events will be released as the month progresses. So look forward to that and we'll see you next week for more Hat Chat.
Yes.
Have a fucking good one. Over and out. Bye. Goodbye.